Hello, my name's Dave Emery. This is For the Record program number 291, a two-half-hour sequence titled From Kennebunkport to Pearl Harbor, Moon, Bush, and the Rising Sun. In this broadcast, we're going to be further developing the relationship between the Bush family, Georges the First and the Second, the Unification Church of Sun Myung Moon, and Japanese fascism. And specifically, we're going to take a look at some of the people in the key early development of the Moon organization and their ties to the Japanese patriotic and ultranationalist societies, and also to the forces that attacked Pearl Harbor. This broadcast is being recorded on April 14th of the year 2001, and we're going to begin with an article from the San Francisco Chronicle of February 22nd of 2001, an article by Don Latin of the Chronicle. It's headlined, Faith-Based Welfare Puzzles Televangelist, and this deals with TV evangelist Pat Robertson. And Pat Robertson, a firm supporter of George Bush, is having some reservations about Bush's faith-based charity because it's going to give some strength to the unification or support to the Unification Church of Sun Myung Moon. Well, Moon's connections to the Bush family are a matter of public record, and I would also note that Pat Robertson's televangelist colleague Jerry Falwell had Liberty University bailed out by the Unification Church, as we looked at in For the Record program number 84, available from Spitfire. Robertson's reservations under the circumstances are rather ironic. Don Latin writes about this in the Chronicle of 222-001 as follows. Skipping down, Robertson, a former GOP presidential candidate and one of Bush's strongest supporters on the Christian right, pointed to plans by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon's Unification Church to promote its sexual abstinence programs in public schools with government funds. Well, speaking of the Moon organization, he said Moon's church uses, quote, Robertson, that is, says Moon's church uses, quote, brainwashing techniques, unquote. Well, duh, says Dave. The Unification Church was discussed in, among other broadcasts, RFA number 7, that from late 1984. RFA number 7 deals with mind control, and it talks about the Unification Church at considerable length. The Unification Church is also discussed in RFAs 14 and 27, as well as the aforementioned For the Record program number 84. More about the Moon-Bush connection in 247, For the Record, that is, 247, 248, and 256, and the background of Patrick Edward Purdy, an Aryan Nations associate who performed the Stockton Schoolyard Massacre in 1989. He had a background in the Moon Organization, as discussed in Miscellaneous Archive Show M55, the Purdy's Last Stand, an analysis of the Stockton Schoolyard Massacre. The hesitation that Pat Robertson feels, again, about Bush's faith-based charity is rather ironic because the Moon, Bush, and Japanese fascist connection has been noted for some time. We're going to review information about that and also talk more about the Moon presence, at least in the background, of the administration of George II, that is, George W. Bush. The following article was researched for us by a member of the listening audience. This comes from the very fine online publication Online Journal. You can access this on their website at www.onlinejournal.com/MMedia/B in Binion. B-I-N-I-O-N, 022201, /b, Binion, 022201.html. The article is by Carla Binion, again, B-I-N-I-O-N. It's titled, Why is TV News Ignoring the Relationship Between Moon and the Bush Family? And just like that San Francisco Chronicle article, it's from February 22nd of the year 2001. The article is extensively sourced, and many of the sources either are Unification Church sources themselves, or such mainstream and relatively conservative publications as U.S. News and World Report. The article reads in part as follows. Why won't Congress and the television news media investigate the relationship between the Bush family and Sun Myung Moon? The following essay explains why the story is newsworthy. While TV talking heads hammer the public hour after hour with repetitious chatter about Clinton's pardons and gossipy allegations of, quote, theft, unquote, of White House goods, the far more serious Bush Moon story remains invisible to TV audiences. In order to unravel the mystery, let's look at Moon's history and stated agenda and explore the Bush family's activities related to Moon. First, here is evidence that Moon is openly anti-American and anti-democratic, with an agenda that includes undermining American democracy and individualism. These are only some of the reasons why a deeper investigation into the Moon-Bush alliance is worthwhile. Frederick Clarkson, author of Eternal Hostility, Common Courage Press, from 1997, reports that Moon has stated that his goal is the, quote, subjugation of the American government and population, unquote, and that, in turn, from Reverend Moon's rising political influence, his empire is spending big money to try to win favor with conservatives, from U.S. News and World Report of March 27, 1989. That article is by John Judis, J-U-D-I-S. Continuing. According to the same U.S. News article, Moon also said, quote, history will make the position of Reverend Moon clear and that his enemies, the American people and government, will bow down before him, unquote. Clarkson reports that Moon has also said, the entire world is our goal. Absolute obedience to the Father, Moon, that one thing will bring certain victory. People here in America have to recognize the ability and power of Reverend Moon, unquote. On May 1, 1997, Moon told a group of followers that the country that represents Satan's harvest is America, unquote. In the 1970s, Moon was investigated by a congressional committee headed by then U.S. Representative Donald Fraser, Democrat of Minnesota. Robert Beecher was staff director of the Fraser Committee. Beecher's interviews with former Moonies revealed that Moon was, quote, appalled, unquote, by American individualism and considered moving to Germany, quote, where people were trained in totalism, unquote. And Robert Beecher's book is called Gifts of Deceit, Sun Myung Moon, Tongson Park, and the Korea Scandal, published in hardcover by Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston, 1980. I would add that as we looked at in the aforementioned RFA number 7, which actually I believe was from early 1985, not 1984, Robert Beecher died in the as-yet-unexplained fall from a roof of an apartment building in New York City in 1984. Continuing. Beecher writes that according to former Unification Church members, Moon's program to instill discipline, unquote, included showing Nazi films on organizing Hitler Youth, unquote. Moon's anti-American, anti-democratic rantings might seem harmless if expressed by an individual with no political clout. However, the wealthy, influential Moon has worked successfully to gain a power base among conservative Republicans. In an effort to gain political influence, Moon has worked his tentacles into the news media. Frederick Clarkson writes that since its founding, the newspaper The Washington Times, quote, has been owned, controlled, and bankrolled, unquote, by Moon. Former Washington Times editorial page editor William Cheshire resigned because of alleged editorial interference from Moon's officials. According to Clarkson, Cheshire also said he believes the Washington Times is operating in violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Passed in the 1930s, the Foreign Agents Registration Act requires entities whose activities are controlled by foreign governments and corporations to make financial and other forms of disclosure to the Justice Department, unquote. Clarkson says the act was originally passed to expose covert Nazi funding of German-American newspapers, unquote. George H.W. Bush is one of the most politically powerful defenders of both Moon and the Washington Times. Bush was CIA director when the Fraser Committee investigated Moon, and he is well aware of Moon's stated agenda and modus operandi. At the time of the congressional investigation, Bush handled sensitive matters on U.S. relations with Korea and the political figures involved. According to a Reuters report, when Moon held a banquet in Buenos Aires celebrating his new Spanish-language newspaper for the whole of Latin America, unquote, his guest at the event, George H.W. Bush, praised Moon's respect for editorial independence, unquote. Bush's speech was full of praise, unquote, for Moon's Washington Times, according to Reuters. The report also says Bush described Moon as the man with the vision, unquote. Reuters said Bush later traveled with Moon to neighboring Uruguay, quote, to help him inaugurate a seminary in the capital, Montevideo, to train 4,200 young Japanese women to spread the word of his Church of Unification across Latin America, unquote. I want to salute Reverend Moon, who is the founder of the Washington Times and of the new paper here, Bush said. According to Reuters, the Washington Post reported that Bush was paid $100,000 for his Buenos Aires appearance. Journalist Robert Perry reported in Consortium News that part of Moon's strategy for gaining political influence is to approach conservative leaders when they need money. Moon quietly infuses money and gains the leader's gratitude, writes Perry. By the way, that excellent article by Robert Perry accessed in For the Record program number 84. Continuing. For example, when conservative direct mail entrepreneur Richard Viguerie was having financial trouble in the late 1980s, Moon directed more business his way and had a corporation run by Moon's lieutenant, Bo He Pak, buy one of Viguerie's properties for $10 million, according to Perry. Viguerie, who helped raise money for the New Right in the 1970s and 1980s, survived financially thanks to Moon. Perry writes that when Oliver North ran for the Senate in Virginia in 1994, his principal direct mail contractor was Viguerie's company, according to Federal Election Commission records. Moderate Republicans have complained about the Republican-Moon alliance. For example, according to Perry, in 1983, Representative Jim Leach of Iowa said the Unification Church has infiltrated the New Right and the party it wants to control, the Republican Party, and it has infiltrated the media as well. Leach, then chairman of the GOP's Moderate Repon Society, R-I-P-O-N, said the New Right had entered an alliance of expediency, unquote, with Moon's church. Perry reports that Leach released a study which alleged that the College Republican National Committee solicited and received money from Moon's Unification Church in 1981. In order to gain power, Moon has also aligned himself with organizations farther to the right than the New Right Republicans, among them the World Anti-Communist League, or WACL. The WACL, according to Frederick Clarkson, is an international alliance of conservative, fascist, and Nazi groups, governments, and individuals. By the way, we've spoken about WACL in numerous broadcasts available from Spitfire. Continuing. The head of the Unification Church in Japan was a member of the WACL board of directors. Clarkson says, the Japanese section of WACL, Shokyo Rengo, was founded in 1968 as an alliance between top Unification Church officials and leaders of the Yakuza, Japanese organized crime, notably Yoshio Kodama, unquote. By the way, Kodama was a prominent Japanese fascist with strong connections to Japanese intelligence and also to the Japanese patriotic societies. We're going to talk about Kodama in the second half of the broadcast. Continuing. Clarkson writes that, under the leadership of retired U.S. Army General John K. Singlaub, WACL helped provide money and weapons to the Nicaraguan Contras, particularly after Congress cut off CIA-channeled funding to the Contras in 1984. Moon's front group, Causa, was one of the first groups to give the Contras humanitarian aid, unquote. Clarkson says that in a November 15, 1979 press statement, former WACL youth leader Alan Tate Wood said that before the scandal investigated by the Fraser Committee broke, Moon ordered him to win the power centers, unquote, of the U.S. for him, starting with academia. In a press statement, Wood also said Moon told him, part of our strategy in the U.S. must be to make friends in the FBI, the CIA, and police forces, the military, and business community as a means of entering the political arena, influencing foreign policy, and ultimately establishing absolute dominion over the American people, unquote. Representative Donald Fraser said that when members of Moon's organization objected to his political aims, they were told it was Master's expressed desire to begin political work in the United States. Thereafter, a member's objection to political activities was considered infidelity to Master and was like being disobedient to God, unquote. Fraser Committee Staff Director Robert Beecher writes about Moon's history. In his early climb to power, says Beecher, Moon wanted to have loyal cultists inside the Korean government where they could sway powerful persons and become influential themselves, unquote. Moon wanted his followers to portray the Unification Church as a useful political tool for the government, unquote, while hiding Moon's power goals. Moon's early followers included army officers close to Kim Jong-pil, the founding director of the Korean CIA. Kim Jong-pil knew that Moon had ambitions to build influence in South Korea and in other countries. He gave Moon slack because he decided Moon might be of use to the Korean government. And after talking about the Moon Organization's very successful effort at winning the endorsements of powerful Americans, including or photo ops with powerful Americans, including former presidents, congresspersons, and others, Carla Binion writes as follows, skipping down. Moon's decades of courting influential American leaders in order to gain political power in this country have been fruitful. Reporter Joe Connison said that at a Washington gathering celebrating the George W. Bush inauguration, at a prayer luncheon held in the Hyatt Hotel ballroom on Capitol Hill on January 19th of 2001, Moon received an award for his work in support of traditional family values, unquote. The featured speaker was Attorney General Designate John Ashcroft. Tuesday, February 20th of 2001, a C-SPAN moderator said Reverend Moon plans to promote his abstinence program in schools with the help of George W. Bush's faith-based initiative program. How might that work? Frederick Clarkson points out that Moon has been trying to get his tentacles into U.S. schools to promote his right-wing views for many years. The World Medical Health Foundation, or WMHF, is a Moon front group. WMHF Chief Dr. William Bergman, once director of Moon's Unification Church, produced a slide program for schools called The Private Plague, AIDS, Sexually Transmitted Diseases, and a Strategy for Our Youth at Risk, unquote. Bergman's program teaches that these diseases have roots in the civil rights movement, unquote, which allegedly led to moral relativism, unquote. Will Bush's faith-based initiative program assist Moon in his efforts to teach your children that the civil rights movement led to moral relativism, which in turn then led to sexually transmitted diseases? Some Republicans have accepted Moon as part of their family values movement. For the religious right, the family values issue means support for the traditional nuclear family. However, Moon teaches recruits to abandon their biological families and to accept Moon and his wife as their true parents, and the Unification Church as their true family. Clarkson writes that a 1994 congressional resolution sponsored by Representative Dan Burton, Republican of Indiana, Senator Trent Lott, Republican of Mississippi, and Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, supporting Parents Day, turned out to be a Moon-initiated effort in which the true parents behind the resolution were quietly celebrated, a fact possibly hidden from the congressman. Moon claims, says Clarkson, that he and his wife are the true parents of all humanity. We are the Savior, the Lord of the Second Advent, the Messiah, unquote. Clarkson says Moon has often used George H.W. Bush and Barbara Bush as a warm-up act at his family values rallies. When Bush gave a series of speeches at events sponsored by Moon's wife's organization, the World Federation for World Peace, he claimed he did not know Moon was involved. Instead, Bush praised the WFWP for its great emphasis on family, unquote. Bush also said, "Until I see something about the Women's Federation that troubles me, I will continue to encourage them," unquote. Here are a few items that might discourage Bush from supporting Moon's kind of family values. Robert Beecher's investigation for the Fraser Committee revealed that Moon teaches recruits that Satan works through their biological parents, and that they must accept their true parents, Reverend Moon and his wife, and reject their flesh parents. A central tenet taught to Moon recruits is heavenly deception, unquote. Recruits, says Beecher, are told the non-Moon world is evil. It must be lied to so it can help Moon take over. Then it can become good under Moon's control, unquote. According to Beecher, Moon teaches that lying is necessary when one is doing God's work, whether selling flowers in the street or testifying under oath, unquote. Beecher reports that an aspect of another Moon tenet, the divine principle, is the idea that Jesus' love was weak and that he failed as a leader because he was unable to motivate his disciples to kill for him or to die in his place. Moon claims he is taking up where Jesus left off and, says Beecher, Moon sees Christian churches as furthering Satan's cause by rejecting him, unquote. The Fraser Report of October 31, 1978, revealed that Moon had been involved in lawbreaking in addition to expressing anti-American sentiments and using questionable recruiting and indoctrination practices. Beecher writes that Fraser found Moon violated laws on banking, immigration, taxes, currency control, charity fraud, arms export control, and foreign agents registration, unquote. However, according to Beecher, Moon thinks his religious beliefs entitled him to break the law. Frederick Clarkson points out that the Washington Post has reported that Moon has been the subject of over 300 lawsuits in Japan, ranging from former Moonies claiming they were brainwashed into slave-like devotion, to members saying that they were duped into paying exorbitant prices for vases, prayer beads, or other religious objects, unquote. Newspapers have done a reasonably good job of investigating Moon's dark side, but television news has blacked out the story. Because most Americans get their news from television, most people do not know the nature of Moon's political work in the U.S., or the extent of his involvement with the Bush family. On the rare occasion that Moon is mentioned on television news programs, the focus is on superficiality such as Moon's mass weddings. Fox Network's Paula Zahn once interviewed a Moon supporter who said the mass weddings were not coerced. At the interview's end, Zahn thanked the Moon apologist for setting the record straight, unquote. The Moon story is about more than a megalomaniacal tyrant and his isolated followers. It is also about the fact that since George W. Bush took power, Moon benefits from Bush's faith-based initiatives program. Moon also gains prestige and political influence when he is honored by Bush supporters such as John Ashcroft and others who attended the January 19th prayer luncheon. Thanks to the Bush family and their imposed dynasty, today, Moon has more power to undermine American democracy and individualism. He has more power to work to subjugate the American government and population, unquote. He has more power to try to make his enemies, the American people, and government bow down before him, unquote. Thanks to his association with Bush, Moon now has more power to encourage people here in America to recognize the ability and power of Reverend Moon, unquote. He has more power to convince people that the country that represents Satan's harvest is America, unquote. He has more power to lure recruits and have them trained in totalism, unquote, and to instill discipline, unquote, by showing his trainers Nazi films on organizing Hitler Youth, unquote. Moon has been able to infiltrate and gain a power base in the U.S. primarily because of one thing: secrecy. His history includes hiding his real intentions behind front groups and deceptive advertising, whether hawking for donations, luring unsuspecting recruits, or currying favor with politicians. The story of Moon and his support by the Bush family would be common knowledge among all Americans if the TV news media would simply report the facts. And what we're going to do for the duration of this side of the broadcast is to take a look at the patriotic and ultra-nationalist societies that helped to bring fascism through Japan through a wave of political assassinations. I've spoken about them in the miscellaneous archive show called Japanese Fascism, Its History and Significance for Today. That's available from Spitfire. And we're going to take a look at the definitive book about the assassination program conducted by the patriotic and ultra-nationalist societies. That assassination program helped to bring fascism to Japan, and as we're going to see in the second side of this program, there are strong links between the patriotic and ultra-nationalist societies in Japan and the Moon Organization. We're going to be excerpting a book called Government by Assassination by Hugh Bias, last name B-Y-A-S. He was the former Tokyo correspondent for the New York Times. The book was published in hardcover by Alfred A. Knopf and Company and copyrighted 1942. And what we're going to take a look at is the Blood Brotherhood. That's a group of the young officers' plot. And in turn, we're going to take a look at their connections to the Japanese Patriotic Societies, one of the Patriotic Society's schools, the Native Land-Loving School. And we're going to take a look at the most important incident in the wave of assassinations that helped to bring fascism to Japan, the May 15th incident. Hugh Bias writes as follows in Government by Assassination. The civilian wing of the young officers' plot was a gang called the Blood Brotherhood, Ketsumidan, literally the Blood Oath Band. Some of them were vicious youths living on the borderland where patriotism and crime meet. Others were idle, fanatical students. All of them were idealists in their way. They were willing instruments, but they had hypnotized themselves with slogans, and they regarded themselves as more than tools. The prospect that the army would become the active force of revolution had stimulated the patriots all along the line, and many currents met in the movement which culminated on May 15th. Kasuburo Tachibana was haunted by dreams in his boyhood and could not decide whether to become a statesman or a general or sometimes simply a good man. He had been born in the prefecture which afterwards became the site of the naval air training base and the home of the Blood Brotherhood, and his birthplace fixed his destiny. Skipping down. In 1930, Tachibana's admirers enabled him to establish a school. He called it the Native Land-Loving School. Everybody in Japan with a message to deliver or an axe to grind opens a school. Skipping down. Those schools in the hands of the patriotic societies are at once a method of training young men for strong-arm work and a plausible method and a plausible excuse for extorting contributions from the rich and timid. And skipping down once again, more about the May 15th incident. That was the assassination of the Japanese Prime Minister on May 15th, 1932. And as I've indicated, that was the definitive element in this assassination program. The date was May 15th, 1932. It went into Japanese history as the May 15th incident, but at 9 a.m., it was just a newsless Sunday morning in May, and off we went. And again, the "we" here is the reference to Hugh Bias and his wife. Again, Hugh Bias was the Tokyo correspondent for the New York Times and lived through the wave of political assassinations conducted by the patriotic and ultranationalist societies, including and especially the May 15th incident. We're going to continue with our account of the May 15th incident on side two of For the Record program number 291. I've made allusions to other broadcasts available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That is spelled S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They're located at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. By the time you hear this program on the stations that carry it, there will be a detailed and annotated description of For the Record program number 291 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfirelist is one word. Sister station WFMU in Jersey City, New Jersey, is now archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. You can visit their website at wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y. They are also archiving older For the Record programs on a related website. That web address is http://archive.wfmu.org/archive/D-X/. That concludes side A of For the Record program number 291, from Kennebunkport to Pearl Harbor, Bush, Moon, and the Rising Sun. This is being recorded on April 14th of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.